It began right there in that little round picture. She was a kindergarten teacher for me. Sat me down at the kindergarten table when I was six. And she wanted an architect for her son. Why, I do not know. But she was a teacher, and around my room in which I was born were nine, simply framed with maple. The nine of the English cathedrals, engraved by Timothy Cole. That's what I saw in the cradle. Then she was determined that I was to be an architect, and all down the line, everything was so focused on that that I never had any idea that there was anything else. I didn't know there was anything but architecture. And so, the kindergarten training by Froebel, and of course the scientific German thoroughgoing mind of Friedrich Froebel, should be the foundation of almost every education of today. Well, I think she felt that. She was a disciple of Theodore Parker and quite advanced in her views. Then in her home, the curtains were net and hung straight at the sides instead of it tied back with bows. She had polished maple floors, and on those maple floors, a friend of hers, Mrs. Davis, helped her get colored rugs from India, woven with polychrome on the rugs. And when she wanted flowers, she cut them with the stems long, and always preferred glass that would show the stems and set them in the water separately by themselves. Well, I grew up in that, and my father, of course, was a musician and a preacher. And music and all that environment was my babyhood. I used to go to sleep listening to my father playing Beethoven's sonatas on the pianoforte. So I had all that in my system as a natural. My mother sent me here, I was 11, to work with my Uncle James over here in the corner. And she saw me as we came back from Boston, where my father had a pastorage. Came back, I was getting to be a sort of a little Lord Fauntleroy, you see, long hair and ringlets she used to curl on her fingers. And she saw her man-child getting to be rather refined. So she sent me up here to my uncle, and I never had shoes on, nor a hat, from the time I was 11 until I was 17. We were poor, and we couldn't afford an architectural school. There was none. So impatiently, I went through nearly 4 years of engineering school. I had 3 months left to go, and decided, after all, that the engineering was only rudimentary, undeveloped architecture. And I struck out for Chicago on my own, unbeknown to anybody, including my mother, and tramped the streets there for a couple of days till I found a place with Silsby, and stayed with him a year studying residence architecture. He was the leading residence architect at that time in Chicago. So after that year with Silsby, it came apparent that Sullivan was looking for somebody to do the drawings for the interior of the auditorium building. Needed an assistant, and one of the boys there told him about me. So he told Bill Cox to ask me to come to see him, and I went. And then he asked me for some drawings. So I was busy making them. I made a lot of them. I made some of his ornament turned into Gothic and took them along. And he glanced at them all until he came to those. And he said, what are these, right? I said, well, I thought we could turn it into Gothic to see how easy it is. And he was offended. But he saw the virtue. I was a good draftsman. I had a good touch. And he said, right, you do. You've got a good touch. How much do you want? Well, the Answer was, I'd been getting $18 a week. So I said, $25, and he smiled, and he said, well, we'll fix that as we go along. I could have asked for 50 and got it. Adler was the big chief. He was the big engineering architect with advanced ideas of architecture and was really a pillar of the AIA at the time. One of the advanced thinkers and performers. He did Central Music Hall. He did the exposition building on the lakefront. He did any number of loft buildings for his clientele of that time. And he took Sullivan in as a young, inexperienced member from the Beaux-Arts who had worked around in offices a little, and took him in as a partner, believing in his genius. Adler believed in Sullivan's genius as most people believe in God. And anything that Sullivan wanted, he got. And Sullivan, of course, knew very little of the practical side of architecture. That he learned from one of the best masters he could have had, Dagmar Adler. And of course, the two men played in together like thumb and little finger, or thumb and forefinger. Adler the thumb, Sullivan the forefinger. Oh, I had 30 under me. I had charge of the planning and designing end of the office. Paul Miller had charge of the engineering end and the field. He was Adler's man and I was Sullivan's. The Winslow House had the idea of shelter that I have continued ever since. One of the greatest things of greatest importance in a building was a sense of shelter. The Winslow House had that. Then the Winslow House still clung a little to the Sullivanian type of ornamentation and the frieze. But still it was going away at that time. But it was about until the Coonley House was an instance, as many designs of that period were, of the individualized, what we call the zoned house, where the dining room is a unit, where the living room is a unit, where the bedrooms are a unit, and where they're all connected gracefully together, around and according to environment. And the Roby House, that was about 1909. From 1903 and 4 to 1909 was the developing of the open plan. The space values of the building preserved, enlarged, expanded, presented. It makes an entirely new architecture, and Unity Temple is the first expression of it. That is my contribution to modern architecture. And that, to me, is modern architecture. I'm still fighting a divorce of man from the elements of nature that he belongs to. That he has been fashioned according to. I never want him to be separated from the elements that constitute the body of his universe. The Guggenheim is going up to the second floor level above the street and is proving to be a great challenge to all New York, because it's the first time that in New York a modern 20th century building has been built. All the buildings in New York are 19th century buildings in the sense of the old engineers' bridge construction. They're all boxed frames, boxing, and built from the outside in, and the museum is built from the inside out, and the concrete is the building. All those other buildings are faced with something. This thing is integral. You feel it when you go to see the building. It looks solid, the other stuff all looks cracker box. Here's the Welsh definition of a genius that comes down from King Arthur's Round Table. I read it in the Maginogenis, in which the wisdom of the Welsh comes down. A genius is a man who has an eye to see nature. A genius is a man who has a heart to feel nature. And a genius is a man who has the courage to follow nature. Beat that if you can.